Welcome back to the Morrissey Show. Joining us, as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm, at AH Malcolm on the Twitters. He's on Instagram too. Is it at AH Malcolm on Instagram, or is it different on Instagram?
I don't know, but I'm there.
He's around there someplace. He's on Instagram someplace, but Twitter is where you're going to find him, and RedState.com.
All these years, every time you say the Prince of Twitter, I have to chuckle. I know it's my weekly chuckle.
You're the Prince of Twitter, man. You were the reigning Prince of Twitter from the launch. I mean, you were there before I was. You were there before Dwayne was.
I was there. Well, I think about 10 months in. I remember a nice woman next to me in the newsroom asked me if I was on, and I said no, because I don't care what Ashton Kutcher had for breakfast. And she said, well, it's more than that. And you
no,
can
it's
also
not.
Yeah. And she said, and you can also talk about the blog I was running at the time. So I got right. on, and that's what, 18 years. My gosh.
It's been that, hasn't it? It's been 18 years since you've been on Twitter. Jeez, it's been about 17 for me. I don't think I got on until 2008. So yeah, it's something else. So
yeah. And I mean, I like it. It'll always be Twitter for me, and I don't care. You can change it to.
You can change it to X all you want. I call it Twitter too. I mean,
it is.
Apologies to Elon Musk, who owns it, but who am I?
Yeah, he owns it. But he has a thing about the name, right? He wanted to change. He wanted to change PayPal to X, and his buddies or partners wouldn't agree to it. So he saved it in the back. He's going to name something X, and I chuckle every time I see online stories from news organizations saying on X, formerly known as Twitter, and I go, oh, come on. If you don't know now.
It's been a while. Been 3 years,
Yeah, second. Oh, isn't that
three
amazing?
And a half.
Three and a half years. Boy.
It's been a while.
That long ago, Aaron Rodgers was playing for another team.
Yeah, did you see how he won the game for the Steelers yesterday too? I mean, as long as we're mentioning Aaron Rodgers, the big comeback there, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions.
And they still barely
beat the Jets too. I mean, I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, "Yeah, this is great, but they only barely beat the Jets." So I'm not getting my hopes up yet for this season.
Yeah, well, that was a revenge game for him, I guess. And they asked him if he was, because I guess the Jets coach said, you don't fit in this team or some disparaging thing. And the reporter asked him at the news conference afterwards, so was this a revenge against him? And he said, it wasn't revenge. I enjoyed beating everyone in the Jets organization. So,
yeah, they weren't getting along too well at the very end there. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me, but. Yeah.
I don't have patience anymore for these guys that get all huffy about stuff. I mean, understand they're good, they want to play, but it's a business, And
right.
So anyway, the heck with it. Where are we going with this?
Is what you're saying? Yeah. I want to get back to Twitter, because Twitter is actually kind of part of the story over the weekend. We're going to get to your column too, because that's another part of the story. But there was a murder that took place in Charlotte, and nobody covered it, right? I mean, the local media covered it. Nobody in the national media covered it. This was I'm sure you've seen it by now. The story was that a Ukrainian refugee, young woman who was a Ukrainian refugee, was on public transport. I think it was a bus, coming home from work late at night. And the guy sitting behind her ends up brutally killing her, stabbing her to death in this sort of like berserker frenzy. Before anybody could intervene, she was already mortally wounded. And it turns out that this guy has been in and out of prison for at least a decade. He's got 14 priors in that county alone. He may have others in other counties. They knew about him. He keeps getting released. He was at least two or three of the convictions that took place were for violent crimes. It might have actually been more than that. This is a state, by the way, that has apparently a three strikes law, though I don't know, you know, what the parameters of it were, if he was eligible for life, for a life sentence on his last conviction. This is a guy who clearly shouldn't be out on the streets. And then newspapers didn't, the national media outlets didn't run a word of this until the surveillance cam footage went public, and it's horrible. And don't watch it, by the way. I've seen enough of it to know that I don't want to see the rest. This poor young woman, just awful, awful way to go. And then it started making its way on social media, primarily Twitter, right? And what I find interesting is that as much as we complain about Twitter, and as much as there is to complain about Twitter and social media, in this case, it really did function as a bypass to editorial narrative control that was being exercised by what I call the protection racket media. They wanted to keep the lid on this thing because they don't want crime stories going viral because it helps Donald Trump, frankly. And that's what happened in this case. They tried to keep the lid on it, and Twitter didn't let them do it. And I haven't written about that aspect of it. Maybe I'll come back to it tomorrow. But since you're the prince of Twitter, I just figured I'd bring it up to you. Because it fits into what you were just saying too, is that, you know, it is really as bad as it can be sometimes. I mean, let's face it, it's a time suck. And for the most part, all you're hearing about is Ashton Kutcher's lunches and who's got a gripe against who, you know, and Taylor Swift and Kelsey, Travis Kelsey, getting engaged, which was cute. I'm a big fan of that. I just thought the whole thing's cute. But I mean, most of the time, it's just dumb stuff. But in this particular case, and again, thanks to the fact that Elon Musk took the censorship stuff off of there and allowing people to have these conversations, this bypassed the filter that the protection racket media has applied. And I think it's a really great case study and how they just don't have the control that they think they do. This thing leaked out all around the edges and it got out. Now everybody's having to react to it, mostly in a conservative's pounce sort of narrative, but they're having to cover it now.
Yeah, I'm thankful that he's controlled it or not controlled it and let it out. It also, what happens? I don't understand the insanity of the anti-Trump thing that totally erases the morals of news people who should be on this awful story because they don't want to help Trump. I mean, it's just disgusting. I don't know. I mean, you would think in capitalism and in the competitive era that we're supposed to be in with these media that there would be the swing back, the counterbalance of other media, and then the protection racket guys would have to respond. But it's I don't know it. It just kind of makes me sick, I have to admit.
Well, and it should. I mean, because this is a story that should have been covered. This is especially at this particular point in time, because crime is a particular political issue here. Now, we're talking about this, right? And right now, Donald Trump, over the weekend, I think it was on Friday, he posted this really silly meme based on Apocalypse Now, talking about Chicago. You know, he's he's somebody photoshopped him in or AI'd him into the scene where Robert Duvall goes, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That's just Trump being Trump. And people are saying, oh, you know, he's threatening a military takeover of Chicago, which is nonsense. And what he's saying, though, is that I am not going to let this go. Chicago is in serious trouble, and I'm going to make sure everybody understands that, because I want them to, you know, in part because it's good for him. And I'm not discounting that at all, but in part because it's just flat out true. Chicago is descending into a hellhole, and it's not the only one, right? Baltimore.
No, I know. Yeah.
You know,
there's a whole bunch of them. And
right.
I have a fond spot in my heart for Chicago. I went to college there and university, and I lived there and worked there for two tours for one of the formerly mainstream media. And I feel sick for the city, but you know, the truth is, Ed, the city elected this guy. And this guy,
oh, Johnson, and definitely.
And the city elected the woman before him, for whatever DEI reasons, or I can't imagine what they were. They elected them, and they allowed the city to go to hell. And they don't have a Rudy Giuliani to pull them back. And you know, New York, L.A. is that the same thing in L.A.? It's and yet all those people who have allowed this were elected, and the media went along with it and covers for them. It's not working there. They forfeited. The media has forfeited their watchdog responsibility. That is why the founding fathers gave it to them. I keep hoping there's some counterbalance to it, but I don't see it yet.
Well, the reason why I bring this up is because it plays into the themes that you and I have both written about recently. Yeah. You wrote about it this weekend. I wrote about it over the last couple of weeks, right? Which is the fact that Donald Trump keeps getting on the 80 side of 80-20 issues. And I'd argue on crime, it's probably more like 90-10 or 95-5. Nobody wants the kind of crime that you're seeing in Chicago in their cities. Nobody wants to see it in Washington, D.C. Now, there's certainly great debates about what to do about it. But one of the things that you don't do about it is do what J.B. Pritzker did, I think it was a week ago, tell, I forget which, was it ABC News? Where they were strolling around someplace and saying, well, crime's just a part of being in a big city. Yeah, because you let it happen. That's the reason why.
Right.
And normally you can get away with that, right? Because nobody's doing anything about crime. So your city is pretty much in the same boat as all the other cities. Nobody's taking it seriously. And so it doesn't really matter. You can all throw your hands up and say, this is just what it's like when you have big cities, which is absolutely not true, by the way. If you go to Europe, big cities are a lot different.
Oh,
And it's not just the fact that they have gun control. It's just the fact that they prosecute criminals.
Even in Canada, big cities are that way.
Yeah. So it's really something that's more or less an American urban phenomenon. So then Donald Trump comes in and decides that he's sick and tired of this happening in D.C.
And he also decides that this is a convenient political point to make, which is fine. That's fine. That's the way the system's supposed to work.
And he is accountable for his actions in there. But what he does is he sends in the National Guard, which gets them all into, you know, hair pulling mode. I don't have that problem anymore, but I don't have hair pulling mode.
Yeah.
He gets them all in hair pulling mode, sends in the National Guard, and it works. And this is where the problem starts for Democrats. is Donald Trump is in the middle of proving that if you throw a bunch of resources onto the streets and enforce the law as it's supposed to be enforced, the dick crap goes away really fast. And I'm not talking about just
the bad crap goes away.
Yeah, the bad crap goes away fast. You don't get anywhere near the amount of carjackings, because if there's National Guard troops around with guns, if you start trying to carjack someplace, you're going to end up dead. In fact, in Chicago, that actually, I don't know, he's not dead, he's in critical condition, but a rapper tried to carjack somebody, and that particular person was armed. And it worked out very badly for him, and he got shot in the head, and he's probably not going to survive it. So apparently his sales weren't going too well, and he needed to carjack a car, I guess, for some income. But I mean, that stuff goes away because you've changed the environment. You've changed environment where you have lots of enforcement options and lots of enforcement resources, and people don't screw around. They get the message. And they got the message in Washington, D.C. They've made, 2,000 arrests in the last 3 weeks?
They get the message because there are potential consequences.
Yes.
I mean, it's the way it works in families. Same thing. The kids think are probably tempted to do something, misbehave, but then they know there will be a grounding or there will be some other kind of punishment. That's the way I grew up. But there's a lot of people that don't have parents, apparently.
That's part of the problem, too. But yeah, that's a whole other part of the problem. Yeah.
And then the cities let these things go. Now, Rudy Giuliani, he wasn't the one that invented the broken window theory, but he played with it and used it and utilized it, and it worked. His police commissioner employed it. And the broken window theory was, a sociologist studied it, where they put a really nice car in a really bad neighborhood, and they monitored it, sure that it was going to get stripped, but it wasn't. And they couldn't understand this. This went on for several days. But then one of the sociologists went down and broke, this is some years back, and broke the little vent, broke the little vent window. You know, in the passenger side, you used to have a little window.
Yeah, the little fold-out windows. Yeah, remember those?
Yeah, and he broke that window. And within 24 hours, the entire car was stripped. And the lesson from that is that little things matter. And so the New York City and Giuliani and the police, they focused on graffiti on the subway. They flooded the subway with police. They arrested people. They had these people with allegedly wash your windshield at stoplights. And then you had to pay them. And if you didn't, they started beating up your car. All the stuff, which by itself individually seems small, but that's where the chaos starts.
Yep.
People realize, this doesn't have punishment, so maybe other things do. And then it gets wildly out of control. And I don't care if Trump is using this. He should use it. That's his job to correct these problems and to point them out. And Democrats hate the fact that he's calling them out on it. He's calling them out on a whole lot of stuff. And you wrote about this, 10 days ago with the cornering strategy post that you made?
Yeah.
And I linked to that because it's so important that he's seen this as an opportunity. You know, remember back in 2015 and 16, there were 17 Republican candidates, many of them professional politicians.
Right.
And Trump, the billionaire from Fifth Avenue, was the only one who listened, heard the frustration and anger in the heartland, and tapped into it against the establishment on both parties in Washington. And it's carried him so long. Then when he got into office, this is earth-shaking. When he got into office, one by one, he did his promises. He fulfilled them to do this and this and this. And his base saw that. I mean, this is the way it's supposed to work. This is the way it's supposed to work.
It's the way it's supposed to work, right? Yeah.
And if you don't like Trump, so what? He's doing what he's supposed to do. And the media can't accept that, and the Democrats can't accept that, and they just have this phobia in their head that everything he does is bad, and it's not. Unfortunately, he won't be able to run again, and we'll see who inherits that mantle. But for now, he's using it, and he should use it, and I just don't. I'm not sure at all that the voters in Chicago and New York and other Democrat cities get the message that this is on you. You pick them. You live with it.
They have not gotten that message yet, and this is the problem that they have. Again, getting back to the status quo. Right, the status quo was static. Right? Nothing was changing because nobody wanted to change anything. Progressives run every single major urban center in the country, with the possible exception of Dallas, where the mayor converted to the Republican Party, and he's on his way out anyway. He didn't get elected as a Republican. He converted to the switched parties midway through his second term. I think after a year in his second term, he decided he was going to become a Republican. He'll likely be replaced by a Democrat in the next election. And Dallas isn't even that bad off compared to other cities, but they're all being run by progressives, all of them. And even in red states are being run by progressives. Yeah. And the fact that nobody would do anything to change the progressive policies that were creating this mess allowed them all to say, well, there's nothing you can really do about it. Because to put people in prison is just to keep the incarceration mindset, we can't do that. Well, nonsense.
Yeah,
it's absolute nonsense. You know, oh well, it's unfair. It's the system's racist, so you can't prosecute people because the system's racist. Well, people have to live in these cities, and eventually they're going to look at this and say, "Isn't there anybody doing anything differently?" That's what Donald Trump is doing in Washington, D.C. And he's about to do it in Louisiana because Jeff Landry is cooperating with him to put federal enforcement resources on the streets there. Now, governors can do that, right? They can invite the National Guard to come in, or they can deploy them themselves, and they can keep them from being deployed. And this is where we get to J.B. Pritzker, and if you want Kathy Hochul in New York, and Governor Wes Moore in Maryland. They can't pretend anymore that this can't be fixed. And this is what the thing is with Washington, D.C. They cannot pretend anymore that it can't be fixed, because Donald Trump is showing that it can be fixed if you apply resources and you start prosecuting everybody. Yeah. And they're going to continue to do that. And now here's the dynamic. Chicago had 6 homicides over the weekend. Another, I think 50 people were shot, but survived, right? I would assume, including this rapper who tried to carjack this car. And it's not just the homicides, but those, that's obviously the worst crime, but it's all the violent crimes are way up. And they're trying to pretend that it's not, but it's nonsense. And Donald Trump gets on Truth Social this morning and says, there's another 6 murders that happened over the weekend. Another 50 people were shot. I forget what the exact total is. It's either, I can look it up, but quite a few people were shot. And he doesn't even get into all the other crimes that were taking place in Chicago over the weekend. But 6 people are dead. Why isn't Pritzker asking for help? Because I have help, and I am ready to deploy the National Guard to help out, to fix this. And Pritzker's saying, oh, he's going to declare military law. He's going to send in the National Guard, and it's going to be illegal. He's not doing that. What he's doing, though, is he's saying, I have those resources. We could fix this problem. I've shown you it can be fixed. Yeah. Let us come in there and clean things up and take over the prosecutions and start cleaning this place up. And Pritzker's going, no, I don't want to do that. And this is Donald Trump. This is the cornering strategy and sort of its most extreme. Donald Trump is forcing J.B. Pritzker to defend Chicago's murder rate. and it's indefensible. It's absolutely, and it's ghoulish that Pritzker isn't doing something about this. And here's the thing. Pritzker could fix this, right? Without Donald Trump. In fact, I don't know why they haven't figured this out, right? But Pritzker could call in the National Guard under his own authority and tell them to do exactly what Pritzker wants them to do. I think it would help some. I don't think they would go in with the same mindset, but Pritzker won't even do that. And if he did that, he'd at least, you know,
defuse Trump's argument. Yeah.
Right. He would at least put it off some, right? But he's not even doing that. Muriel Bowser is about the only Democrat of national stature. This is the mayor of DC who figured this out. Is that I can sit here and complain that he sent in the National Guard. Now, she can't do anything about it because he has authority to do that in Washington, D.C., because it's a federal jurisdiction. But she's cooperating with them. Why? Because it's working and she wants to be seen as part of the solution. And Muriel Bowser is a diehard progressive. Now, this is called making lemonade, right? Because she can't do anything about the National Guard being there anyway. But if they're going to be there, you may as well get on the side of them and take credit for some of the stuff that's happening. Pritzker could do that. And he is so obsessed with Donald Trump that he hasn't, that he can't figure this out. It's insane.
It is insane. And the fact that the media doesn't call this out is also insane. And that's, to my mind, that's a moral tragedy from a profession that should be better, needs to be better, can be better. But
I agree. Now, and this gets into your column too, right? I mean, you talk about this in your column. This is Trump calls out two-faced Democrats with a real drug war and more. It's a real drug war part of this, so it's kind of fun. In a way, yeah. I don't want to make light of the fact that 11 people got killed.
Unless you're a drug runner, it's great fun.
But I mean, we've been talking about a war on drugs since Nixon. Okay. Yeah. Well, Donald Trump just made it a real war, and all of a sudden, Democrats are unhappy about this.
There's your 80-20 again. Yeah.
Again, you're going to stand on the side of drug runners and cartel. Criminal organizations, international criminal organizations. You want us to just let them run up on the beach in the United States? You're going to defend that? Those are the people you're going to defend? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
It is insane. And so, you know, Trump is getting credit among the 80, I think. I don't know if that transfers to somebody else, but Trump lives in their heads. He's lived in their heads since he came down the escalator, and it's inexplicable, inexcusable, and the only way that it's going to get fixed is if voters actually vote against these turkeys, like Bass and Pritzker and what's his name in Chicago and the other cities. It's just, I guess you could say it's they get what they deserve. But as part of, I mean, New York is a symbol of America. To have it be such a pigsty is just criminal, so to speak.
No, I agree. Yeah. All right, Andrew. We're coming up to the end of this here, and I got to check with you. You got any jokes for us?
No, I don't, Ed, because things are so serious. No, I don't have a joke.
I've got a joke for you then.
I'll bet you do.
You know, J.B. Pritzker. I'm just kidding. That's not the joke I have. All right. This is from jokesoftheday.net. I always like to go over there because they've got semi-clean jokes over there that you can laugh at. Semi-clean. I emphasize semi-clean, by the way. All right. Little girl's talking to her teacher about whales. And she says, you know, which whales can swallow a human being? And teach us all. No, look, it's physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human being, because even though it's, you know, a huge thing, its throat is actually very small. And the little girl says, well, wait a minute, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher gets irritated. And she says, I'm telling you, whales can't swallow human beings. It's physically impossible. The little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah. And the teacher says, well, what if Jonah went to hell? And the little girl says, well, then you can ask him.
Oh, you can ask. I like that one, Ed.
I saw that one. I thought, that's pretty cute. I like that one, too. That's pretty good.
That was a good call. Good call. Yeah. That's a good way end a sad time.
I think so, too. And Andrew Malcolm, of course, the prince of Twitter, never swallowed by a whale. They were regent of redstate.com. Always great to be with you. And we will talk again next week, sir.
Okay. Yes, we will. And thank you, Ed. And thank you, everybody. See you then.
See you then.